looked upon as a fiasco or a disaster or an experiment gone haywire, except that the little experiment, the little demonstration of the millennium will be completely successful for the ultimate blessing of humanity. Hello, everyone. Ending the week here. This is Martin Zender, and the Revelation series is in the home stretch, kind of, sort of. We're getting into this epic chapter 20. I love this chapter 20. Chapter 21, we're just off to see the wizard, and chapter 21, it's going to be the new heavens and the new earth and the new Jerusalem, which I love. I always loved huge cities coming down from the sky. Always been a fascination to me, and this is going to be no different. But I want to make sure that you understand about the three resurrections. One's in man's day, one's in the Lord's day, and one's in between, the gap between the day of the Lord and the day of God. Let me review those days for you first. And then we're going to talk about the nations rebelling at the end of the millennium, which is seems like a fiasco, but it's not. It's a great demonstration of God. I've alluded to it. I'm going to get into it in detail. Man's day, that's what we're in right now, humanity's day. This is a day where everything is topsy-turvy and screwy. It's like a bad Lucy show. Watch the Lucy show, at the episodes of the Lucy show, and nobody knows what the other person's doing. Everything's backwards. It's very frustrating. Nobody understands each other, and you finally get the resolution at the end of the show. But we're not in the resolution now. Everything's backwards. The people who shouldn't be celebrities today are celebrities. The people who should be in jail are actually, the darlings of the media and darlings of the era. And people who are incompetent are running things, and the competent ones, that's us, the nobodies, that's us, the ones with the Spirit of God in us, that's us, we're squashed down and we're relegated to relative anonymity, and you people don't matter. So the last shall be first. That's man's day. Paul said at one point, he goes, I am not concerned about being judged by man's day. Wish I could come up with that verse for you, but I can't. What, do you expect me to memorize the whole Bible? Come on, it's the Bible. Paul is being criticized by people. And look, anybody who speaks out is up for criticism. Anybody who puts their little head out of the molehole is going to get whacked. That's the way it is. Paul said, it's no big deal to me to be judged by you. My ultimate judge is God, and he's the one who justifies me. I'll stand before my master. But he says, I'm not judged by man's day either. And this is huge. Don't be judged by man's day. We're in man's day now. This is when humanity in all its soulish heights, all its soulish wonderments, tries to make you feel like nothing, a little dust mite under the bed, or a dust bunny. That's where the dust bunnies go, under the bed. And so they will try to marginalize you, make you totally insignificant, that you're already insignificant to them. That's a given. But do not let them make you insignificant to yourself. That's man's day. But guess what? Man's day is the first resurrection. Well, okay, aside from Christ. Christ was the first resurrection. You can also get this order of things in 1 Corinthians 15, 21 through 28. As an animal are dying, thus also in Christ shall all be vivified. Christ the first fruits. One guy. Thereupon, those who are Christ in his presence. This includes the what's can be termed the out resurrection, those of us who are snatched away out of man's day. We're the only large group of people taken out of man's day. We're coming out of man's day. Those who are Christ in his presence. Okay, then also the Israel saints will come out of their graves in his presence, but that happens during the Lord's Day. The Lord's Day is the second day of the Aeonian times. The Lord's Day is the thousand-year kingdom. That's the Lord's Day. Remember at the beginning of this account, John said, I came to be in the Lord's Day. Okay, that is the day that probably you could say it starts with the worst of the tribulation. And then it continues and includes the millennium. That's the Lord's Day. Then there's the day of God. I think Peter talks about this. Hurrying the day of God, 2 Peter. The day of God is when God himself dwells with humanity. It's no longer called the Lord's Day. It's called the day of God. So we have three epical days. Epical, E-P-O-C-H. They're epical as well. E-P-I-C-A-L. the day of man. That's what we're in now. You can't trust anything you hear in this day, especially what they're saying about you. The day of the Lord. There's one resurrection in the day of the Lord. That's it, resurrection of the Israel saints. Then there's the day of God. Well, I'm really not sure, because the rest of the dead raising at the great white throne, which we're about to read about here, they're raised at the interval between the day of the Lord and the day of God, because heaven and earth have fled at this time. So the second earth has been vamos, as they say in Espanol, I think. So we're going to get into that, the shock of those who raise at the great white throne. But that's when the rest of the dead are raised. And then death is abolished and everybody has immortality. Big whoop. I mean, it is a big whoop, but everybody has eternal life at the consummation of the eons. So the big question of the eons is not whether you have eternal life, like I see on church signs. Where will you spend eternity? Well, I already know the answer to that question. Everybody's going to spend eternity with God. Duh. Because by virtue of the sacrifice of Christ. But not everybody will spend the eons with God. So the question should be, where will you spend the eons? Okay, those are the resurrections. Now, concerning the verse, listen to this. Listen to this passage. Revelation 20, let's see, verse 7. And whenever the 1,000 years should be finished, this is shocking, Satan will be loosed out of his jail. Oh, I wonder what's going to happen then. And he will be coming out to deceive all the nations. Well, he surely won't succeed, because the nations have been living for 1,000 years under the perfect reign of Christ. Well, let's see about that. He comes out to deceive all the nations which are in the four corners of the earth. This is significant, because when Christ returns in Matthew 25, he convenes all the nations in the Valley of Jehoshaphat. Read Matthew 25, you'll find it. It's in there. And he judges the nations. These are the sheep's, the sheep, is sheep's plural for sheep? Sheep's? Oh, sheep is the plural. Okay. The sheep and the goats. And it's not that each sheep represents a person, and each goat represents a person. That is not true. The fact of the matter is that each sheep represents a nation, and each goat represents a nation. They're goat nations, sheep nations. And some of these nations who helped Israel during her time of distress during the millennium will be favorably placed in the kingdom. They will be close to the center of government. The governmental epicenter is Jerusalem, and so they will have happy times in that the zip code, the Jerusalem zip code. But those nations who have not helped Israel, those bad nations, they're going to be sent into the outer darkness, where there will be weeping and gnashing of teeth, the judgment of aeonian fire. That fire is figurative, because fire generally burns people to death. So they're being disciplined, these nations, out on the four corners. That's where we get this term four corners. And this is a figure of speech, four corners. This doesn't prove, as some of you may think, that the earth is flat. No, four corners is a figure of speech for north, south, east, and west. It's as we view it. The sun is also said to rise and set in the scriptures, but it doesn't. We know the sun doesn't go up and down. It just sits there acting like a giant ball of hydrogen, which is what it is. So the four corners, so we perceive the sun to be going up and down, and so the scripture speaks of it as rising and setting. The rising and setting of the sun. Now, it's an illusion, but God accommodates our illusion, and the same with corners. If you're standing on earth, it looks like, oh, you got, you know, four locations. Sun goes here, sun goes there. So there are other two locations where the sun doesn't go. That's north and south. The locations where the sun does seem to go, that's east and west. And so the point is that these nations are out there in the quote outer darkness. Now, they're still beneficiaries of the kingdom. They're still benefiting from the righteous rule, but their hearts are still hard. They're hard-hearted people. But two of the nations are Gog and Magog. And boy, I could do a whole show on Gog and Magog, but I don't need to. I just need to say one sentence about Gog and Magog. Let's see if I can do this. See if I can limit this to one sentence. I got to concentrate on this. Hang on a second. Let me read this passage again. And whenever the thousand years should be... I'm starting to wonder now if I'm going to get into the great millennial fiasco. I might have to change the name of the show and save that title for Monday, depending on... But if I'm only going to give this one sentence, I might be able to do it. Whenever the thousand years should be finished, Satan will be loosed out of his jail, which is the submerged chaos. And he will be coming out to deceive all the nations which are in the four corners of the earth, Gog and Magog. Well, he's not going to deceive. He knows he's not going to deceive the nations immediately surrounding Jerusalem, because those nations are happy campers, because they've been basking in the warmth of proximity to the mother city. So you're not going to talk those people out of their happiness and joy. But these other nations, again, even though they've benefited from a regenerated earth, they are still grumbling, griping. They're angst-ridden out there on the four corners. Gog and Magog. He's going to deceive all the nations in the four corners of the earth. Gog and Magog. Now, there's a little question here. He says all the nations, and then he says only Gog and Magog. Martin, are Gog and Magog the only nations out there? I'm thinking yes. I'm thinking that the nations out there are two, Gog and Magog. And everybody, the mainstream expositors are trying to figure out who today is Gog and Magog. Because if you look on the map, I did a recent search on my world map, and I cannot find Gog and Magog. There are no such nations as Gog and Magog. Here's the sentence. Gog and Magog will not exist until the millennium. I repeat, because that sentence was so great. Gog and Magog will not exist until the millennium. So there are no nations today which you can point to and say, oh, Russia is Gog, or Iraq is Magog. These are secret names for countries that exist today, and we're supposed to fit Gog and Magog into the prophetic puzzle and understand what they are. No, it's not that at all. These nations are not going to exist until, you know what, I am going to call this, I'm going to change the name of the show. I was going to call it The Great Millennial Fiasco. That's a shocking show. I'm going to have to do that Monday. I'm sorry about that. I've already hinted at it. But you're going to learn some new things in depth about why the millennium is simply, it's one, God doing Israel a favor of fulfilling the promises he made to Israel. Okay, I got to be good for my promises. I would love to jump into the fifth eon, says God, because that's going to be super great. But I got to do this millennial thing because I told Israel I would do it. Even though Israel was really a guinea pig nation to prove to humanity that, flesh and blood is not able to do the things of God, that even if they had a list, a detailed list of instructions, 613 laws, the primo commandanto being the Ten Commandments, even so, they are not humanity is not able to do that. So, poor Israel, I used her as a demonstration of this great truth for the rest of the nations to get a clue, which they don't, because the Christian so-called nations today are still trying to do the Ten Commandments. They never have understood what the purpose of the Ten Commandments was. 2 Corinthians 3, it's a dispensation of condemnation and death. Oh, let's try it. What's the matter with you people? A dispensation of condemnation and death. Hey, yeah, I'll sign up for that. What are you, crazy? So it's God finally doing what he said he was going to do for Israel. But it is also this. It is yet another demonstration to humanity of the futility of flesh. No, this is time. It's the futility of environment. With Israel, it's the futility of flesh. That was the lesson of Israel. Flesh and blood is not able to do the things of God. Romans chapter 8. But the millennial experiment slash fiasco is this. It's an experiment of environment, because humanity would still have that argument. You never gave us a perfect environment. Anyway, that's going to be great. So Gog and Magog, they're going to mobilize them for battle. Gog and Magog, I'll call this show Gog and Magog because that'll get a bunch of clicks, because people love all that. This is why some people have tens of thousands of views, because I love the sensationalist conspiracy theory type presentation of revelation where somebody takes all these modern events and dreams up an interpretation. I'm not dreaming up anything here. I'm just strictly, not I guess 100% strictly, but I'm sticking to the scripture, and I'm sticking to what God says something is, and I'm not dreaming dreams or hearing voices in order to tell you that I have the information about Gog and Magog. But I'm going to name this show Gog and Magog, and because of that, because people seeking for the secret meaning on the internet of Gog and Magog, I'll probably get lots of views for this show. So it's a little, it's clickbait, putting out Gog and Magog for that purpose. But the simple truth of Gog and Magog is this, that these nations will not exist. They do not exist now. But as soon as the millennium comes in and Jesus Christ disperses those nations that mistreated Israel to the outer, quote, corners, unquote, of the globe, then we will see Gog and Magog. I'm not completely sure, as I said, whether these are going to be the only two nations, but it sounds to me like it will be, which to me is fantastic. Where do you live? You're out there in the outer darkness, relative darkness as well, because they're going to get the sun as well, but it's going to be relative darkness. It's going to be some kind of, there's still going to be a spiritual veil over these beneficiaries of Christ's kingdom. Where do you live? I live in Gog. Where does that guy live? Well, if he doesn't live in Gog, then guess where he lives? Numbnuts. He lives in Magog. And if you don't live in Magog, you live in Gog. And I'm sure there will be, they will have football teams and soccer leagues. And it'll be, every week will be Gog versus Magog. There will be no other alternative. It's not going to be like the NFL where you have 26 teams in the Eastern Division and the Central Division and the Western Division. No, you will have two divisions, Gog and Magog. And you vote for the president of Gog, and then you vote for the president of Magog. And you, when you have jerseys made to support your team, you could only have one of two jerseys. Either your jersey says Gog on the back, or it says Magog on the back. And it'll be easy to take flights to the outer darkness. If you want to go there, I don't know why you would, but you go to the googleflights.com, and you want to go to the outer darkness, and you don't there's one of two choices. You know, now leaving for Magog. When you get on the plane, they says, the pilot will get on and say, "Welcome to Millennial Airlines. Our destination for today is Gog. If your destination is not Gog, you better get off the plane because it soon will be. The only other alternative is Magog." And these are ugly names for ugly places. Gog and Magog. It sounds like somebody's spitting up a bone or a piece of meatloaf. Gog and Magog. Are you kidding me? Ugh. I don't want to live there.